The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:40 a.m, earlier start time, with James Millman, Tom Morley and Kevin O'Malley in the studio. Three afternoon meetings on Tuesday, Fontwell and Uttoxeter over the obstacles and all-weather racing on the fibre sand at Southwell. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by none other then Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm in very good shape indeed, although I would have been even better, Mark, if looking well had not crumpled three out in the Borders National at Kelso yesterday.
Yeah, a good day racing yesterday for a Sunday.
It was very good.
Yeah, we had the Borders National, we had the Peterborough Chase, some really good racing over in Ireland, and that just topped off a superb weekend, John. What a weekend of racing we had.
Oh, absolutely tremendous. I mean, you know, Altior at Sandown, definitely Red at Aintree, and lots of other really good racing. And as you say, Sunday was good. Huntingdon was excellent.
It was, yeah, very good stuff there. We're going to look back at some of the weekend highlights using the Monday jury in the Racing Post. Before we do, though, John, just a headline that caught my eye. Obviously, we're coming up towards the King George at Kempton, and maybe a bit of Christmas cheer for those who were worried that Kempton might be soon to be gone, because the news breaking over the last day or so is that there's a housing plan for Sandown to redevelop the area, which was part of the reason why they were talking of selling off Kempton. If it spares Kempton, that would be good news, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's excellent news, yes. Oddly enough, Simon Phillip, the major owner of Might Bite, he's just been, well, he was appointed earlier in the year as a director at Kempton, and he said to me that he thought there was hope that apparently the Kempton sort of council, so to speak, it's not the Kempton council, but the council responsible for Kempton,
yeah,
you know, were really very against the development. So this would be a really excellent compromise.
Yeah, I think it would. Yeah, hopefully we don't lose Kempton, and we'll keep our eyes on how that unfolds. And also a bit of news about a retirement of a horse. My tent or yours, John? What a magnificent horse he was.
Yo.
He's been retired, finished second all those times in those big races, a couple of grade one wins himself, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's sad to see these horses go where they've got to. I mean, I burst into tears over Monet's Garden, but I mean, lots of others too. It's a last. It's one of those inevitable things. But yeah, he'll be sadly missed.
We do wish him the happiest of retirement, and of course, being that he's owned by JP McManus, he definitely looks after his horse in retirement as well, doesn't he? So I think he'd be pretty happy. I think he'd be all right.
Yeah, he'll be looked after, isn't he? That's the amazing thing about JP. He has so many horses, but he keeps tabs on most of them, if not all of them.
Yeah.
And by no means all are great horses at all.
Yes, yeah, good stuff. Let's get into the Monday jury then, John. What did you make of the Tingle Creek Chase won by Altior? I mean, I'm going to jump in first, John, and say I am a huge, huge Altior fan, and people were saying before the race that if he was going to get beat at any point, this might be the time when he was vulnerable. And he put that to bed, as champions do, and he maintained his unbeaten record over both fences and hurdles. He's just something else, isn't he, Altior?
Yeah, he is something else, and it was a very, very happy result. It was an extremely exciting, exhilarating race, particularly over the last couple of fences. But as you say, Altior never lets us down, whether it's first time out or perhaps at the Cheltenham Festival later in the season. And his great sort of plus is this determination. And he can dig in and change gear and accelerate when it looks as though he's beaten. I mean, not time after time, but there have been several occasions when Altior has looked a beaten horse, shall we say, 2 furlongs from home, and everyone thinks he's not going to win. Then, bang, he puts his head down, he digs in deep, and he accelerates all the way to the line. And that's exactly what he did at Sandown.
He's just relentless, isn't he? I mean, Undersoes run really well in defeat, and coming to the last, there was very little between them, and he does hit a flat spot or two, doesn't he, Altior, in his races, and you think, oh, he's got a race on here, and then he goes on and, you know, without being too flashy about it, he's won the race by four lengths.
Yes, he has, and you've got to say Nico de Boinville gets on very well with him indeed.
Certainly does. People talking about Altior possibly going to the King George, by the way. Henderson, Nicky Henderson, his trainer, saying that's very, very unlikely, so we'll... I don't think we'll see him at Kempton, but why would you? Why would you change what's working when he's unbeaten at 2 miles? And
yes, I think it'd be very unlikely to be at King George anyhow. We've got Mike Bite to represent them at Kempton, and I'm convinced that horse will go a great deal better than he did at Haydock.
I would agree with that as well, Jordan. How about the Henry VIII Novices Chase, won by Dynamite Dollars? Obviously, we saw the favourite Lawler there. Pretty disappointing in the end.
Yes, second time out for Lalor too, and so maybe in a bit of a bounce factor. Also, the ground was very heavy and testing at Sandown, and Dynamic Dollar had run well at Cheltenham, I think it was, before this race. And he's a typical galloper, relentless chaser. He was suited by conditions, and he won well, but I wouldn't necessarily follow the form.
Okay. So you wouldn't give Dynamite Dollars much chance of following up later on in the season than the Arkle or whatever?
I think it ran well, but I don't think it's an Arkle horse, quite frankly.
Okay. Do you think we might have seen the Grand National winner in the Beecher, obviously, over the national fences for the first time this season at Aintree over the weekend? What did you make of the Beecher?
Definitely not, will be my opinion there. I mean, it was an exciting race, and the winner won well. It was great to see Jim Best with a big race winner. But a lot of the fancied contenders had either fallen by the wayside or they hadn't produced their best form. And the one thing from the Beecher, I think we can say that Black Lion is a horse who temporarily, anyhow, has lost the plot.
Yeah, he was disappointing, wasn't he? And sent off the favourite to try and win the race again, but that's three. Obviously the Grand National, he came out the first, didn't he? But subsequently pulled up and disappointing at the weekend as well. So Jerry's out a little bit with Black Lion at the moment, I suppose.
Yeah, I think so, definitely. And I don't honestly think it was a vintage Beecher chase.
What chance would you give Definitely Red in the Cheltenham Gold Cup? Obviously, he was back to winning, won the Many Clouds chase for a second year in a row.
Well, until I spoke to Andy Thornton about sort of 10 minutes ago, I gave him no chance whatsoever. That was a bit of a sort of bold statement to make. I like Definitely Red. I was certain he would win at Aintree on Saturday, and he's a very decent horse. I think last year's performance in the Gold Cup, I thought, was entirely down to the really impossibly deep testing ground. But talking to Andy Thornton, who himself had been in conversation with Danny Cook, the word was that actually Definitely Red was not himself at Cheltenham last March, that he was not right. Danny Cook apparently absolutely adamant about that. It wasn't helped by the ground, but he wasn't himself at Cheltenham. So, if he goes to Cheltenham, as I think is the plan, in March, who knows, he could, particularly if the ground is a bit better than it was last year, get into a place. I don't think he'll win the Gold Cup, but he could do better than last year.
Okay, interesting stuff. What's your assessment of the Exeter Novice Chase won by Defidus? Sorry, if you just cast your mind back to Friday for this one, John. He came out in front ahead of Top of the Game, who was very, very slowly away, gave the others 10, 15 lengths or so at the start, didn't he? And Black Hop back in third as well. The three good horses, if you like, rose to the top, and Defidus came out on top, which was a welcome return to form for him. Obviously, a very good novice hurdler. Not too long ago, juvenile hurdler. He kind of lost his way a bit, didn't he? But that's a sign that he's going back the right way.
Yes. As far as the race is concerned, I think that it was, so to speak, spoilt by the performance at the start of the horse you've just mentioned from Paul Nichols's stable.
Yeah, Top of the Game.
Top of the Game, who was very well fancied for the contest. And as a result, Defi Desol definitely had an easier task than expected. Now, he improved quite significantly on his first chase run at Cheltenham. I was confident that he would go close to winning that contest, and I was disappointed that he didn't pick up at Cheltenham. But he definitely did that at Exeter. He was much better, and he jumped his fences well. He was, as you say, a top juvenile hurdler. Like lots of juvenile hurdlers, lost form the next year. That was last season. And, of course, Philip Hobbs's horses were entirely wrong, and I think he only ran twice last season. So we're right back now, almost at the start. I think he's a very good horse, Davy de Searle. Top of the game, though, I think you'd have to discount that run, pencil through it. He'd been impressive before. Paul Nicholls thinks he's extremely good, and he could go, you know, exceptionally well. There was a novice chaser that I thought ran extremely well earlier in the season and was, I thought, outstanding at Huntingdon on Sunday, and that was Bags Groove, Harry Fry's horse. And I'm not at all certain if Bags Groove is not one of the very best novice chasers about at the moment. However, Davy de Searle was impressive and I think will improve for that run.
Final question, John. Looking ahead, who do you like for the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup at Cheltenham this weekend? Nice, easy question to finish with.
Ah, well, there's only one horse for that, and that is Guitar Pete. He won this contest last year. He was unlucky. I mean, he was lucky to win it, because Starkitect was well clear at the second last, and then unfortunately sustained a fatal injury. But Guitar Pete ran on very well and scored in the end in determined fashion, and he's run two excellent races recently. He was second or placed at Wetherby, and he was also placed at Cheltenham in the big race last month. And I think he's been specially geared up to win this contest for the second year in a row, and this time perhaps on his merits. Jockeys will be interesting. He was ridden, of course, by Ryan Day for much of last year. Brian Hughes has been on board over the last couple of occasions. That was because Ryan Day was out injured. He's back. He's riding winners, and I imagine he's likely to ride Guitar Pete again. Guitar Pete is my choice.
Okay, Guitar Pete for Lord Budden, then, in the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup. That is this Saturday at Cheltenham. Another big Saturday to look forward to during the National Hunt season. Let's leave the Monday jury there and concentrate on Tuesday's action now. John's picked two races out for us. The first of which, John, is the 12.50 at Southwell, which is a claiming stakes, classified claiming stakes, over six furlongs. A field of 10 go to post for this. And interesting that you've picked this race, John, because they're not always the easiest to figure out, these kind of races. And what's made you go for this one?
Yeah, bread and butter races. I rather like six furlong claimers at a place like Southall. And there are one or two of my, you know, really quite sort of favourite horses in this class taking part. The first one that at the top, Commander Kirkup. I've been a great follower of Kirkup horses over the period of the last sort of decade. And Commander Kirkup has won his last race for Michael Harrington, and it was quite a decent little contest, rather similar to this one, and he won it well. He beat a horse called First Excel, and the contest was here at Southall, and he runs well. So from the top, Commander Kirkup is definitely in with the chance. Going down a bit, I like Che Vegas a bit in this contest, and Scott Dixon is always a trainer to follow at Southall in this kind of race. However, was behind, quite well behind, Commander Kirkup last time out, and therefore it's difficult to see Che Vegas perhaps reversing those places. Now, the horse that I really am interested in the race, it comes up next, and that is Point Zero. Now, Point Zero is trained by Michael Appleby, and he's going to be ridden tomorrow by Ali Rawlinson, who's a very decent young jockey in my view, comes from a long family of excellent jockeys in the past. Now, Point Zero is something of a Southall specialist, although it should be pointed out that on the last two occasions he has been beaten into second place at the course, but he nevertheless tends to run really well, and I think you can put a line through his last last race, where he was a remote ninth at Wolverhampton. Wolverhampton has never suited Point Zero, and he's back at his favourite track here, and he's also wearing blinkers for the first time. And I think that is particularly significant, and I think Point Zero has to be a major contender in this race. The other one I like is Epaios. I've noticed that Ben Haslam has, in fact, had really quite a good weekend. He had a couple of winners over the jumps recently. His horses seem to be going quite well. And Epaios is ridden by Graham Lee, and he's going to obviously have a good ride from the saddle, and ran well at Newcastle last time out. Could go quite well. I don't know whether he's called Epaios or Epaios, but he's in here with a chance. But Point Zero is my selection.
Point Zero, then, the selection for Lord Budden in that 12:50 at Southwell. And then we go over the obstacles at Fontwell for his next pick. The 110 is the race, a novice's handicap chase over 3.25 miles. A field of six set to go to post for this one. John, who do you think comes home in from?
Yes, it's cut up just that little bit overnight, but interesting little contest. Syntex is the one at the top and represents Neil Mulholland, and certainly wasn't disgraced to Plumpton last time out. Indicated that he goes pretty well in soft ground, was third to Sweet Destination. Charlie Mann has been running several horses who've had reasonable chances over the past 10 days or so. And the Ogle Goggle Man, if that is how you pronounce it, represents the stable here in this contest. And I thought ran a pretty promising second in the class of this type of race at Ludlow last time. I gave a second to Sutter's Mill. And you might wonder why I emphasise that. It's because Sutter's Mill was actually entered for this race at the 5 day stage, but has opted not to go. And it might conceivably be a hint that the Ogle Goggle Man will go pretty well in this contest. Paul Webber's team have been coming back into a bit of form recently too, and Robin Dupois has to be considered here. Was second to Strong Resemblance at Huntingdon last time out, and it could be said that that form was certainly up to the best in this Fontwell race, if not a little bit better. However, there are two others in the contest. Future Boy, I put a line through. Dangerous thing to say. The one I like is Find Us at Garcombe. Now, he's not a great horse, this, but he's trained by Jimmy Frost, and he's going to be ridden, of course, by Jimmy's daughter, Bryony. Mm-hmm. And Bryony is still in very good shape, you know, and get riding winners, although she's lost her claim. And they were second, the combination, at Fontwell last time out. And I see no reason why they shouldn't come back here and run another big race. So I think it is between Find Us at Garcombe for the Frost family and the Ogle Goggle Man. And I'm going to go Frostway and say Find Us at Garcombe will be the choice.
Thank you very much, John. That superb stuff as always. Very best of luck and enjoy the action on Tuesday.
Thank you very much, Mark. Look forward to it.
That is the thoughts of Lord Budden then on Tuesday's racing. You can hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:40 a.m. James Millman, Tom Morley and Kevin O'Malley will be the team in the studio. National Hunt Racing at Fontwell and Uttoxeter, accompanied by All Weather Racing on the Fibre Sand at Southwell. So do join the guys for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.